right. Good morning, everyone. It's 9 o'clock on Thursday, October 24th. This is the previously scheduled meeting of the Utah State Tax Commission. I'm Commissioner Bruce Johnson. With me is Commissioner Darcy Dixon Pignanelli, Commissioner Michael Cragen, Commissioner Robert Pirro, our Executive Director Barry Conover, and our Executive Assistant Krista Johnson. This is the time set now for public comment. I don't see any members of the general public who wish to address us, so we'll move on to the next item, which is to consider approving the open and closed commission, consider approving the special commission meeting minutes of Tuesday, September 17th, and the commission meeting minutes of Thursday, October 10th.
This is Commissioner Dixon. I move that we approve the, and the one doesn't say pending on the front of it, but I just want to make sure that it says the pending special meeting minutes of Tuesday, September 17th, and of the commission meeting minutes of Thursday, October 10th, 2013.
Thank you. Any discussion to that motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
That motion passes unanimously. The next item on our agenda is to consider amending certain administrative rules. Commissioner Pirro.
The following two proposed rule amendments are for the commission to consider and make effective. The public comment period ended on October 15th, and we did not receive any public comments. The first proposed rule is R-861-1A-29. It provides that if a party withdraws an appeal from a tax commission initial hearing, the initial hearing decision becomes final as of the date that is 30 days after the date of issuance of the initial hearing decision.
Any questions for Commissioner Pirro on Rule 861-1A-29?
This is Commissioner Dixon. Commissioner Pirro, can you just remind us why we needed this rule? What
Maybe
was the?
I can help with that.
Okay.
I was going to speak up to say that. This rule came about because we were actually having a number of situations earlier this year where people had requested formal hearings, and then before the formal hearing was convened, asked to have that formal hearing request withdrawn. And the clerks were having some difficulty helping people phrase their question, their request to withdraw in such
an entire class or type of personal property requires a written report documenting the schedule change to be submitted to the tax commission for approval prior to use. The rule is also amended to include changes made by 2013 Senate Bill 238 that allow property to be classified as non-capitalized personal property if the property is eligible to be claimed as a deductible expense, regardless of whether the deduction is actually claimed.
Any questions for Commissioner Pirro on this rule? I will note that when we took action to send this up to the Department of Administrative Rules for publication, initial publication and notice, that Mr. Jenkins of the Property Tax Division explained the process that they go through in amending this rule every year and making sure that those values are good values on which taxpayers in the counties can rely. And we recognize that this involves a considerable amount of work, and we appreciate the work of the Property Tax Division. Many representatives of that division are here with us. Are there any comments any of you would wish to make on the rule? Any further comments from the commission? Seeing none,
I'd like to make a motion that we approve proposed rule R861-1A-29.
All in favor, say aye.
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 That motion passes unanimously. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, while we're doing administrative rule items, we can't take action on anything, but we can discuss other items. I wanted to go back and bring up another situation and just talk about it for a minute on that one. Back on the other one, I'm wondering if the same wouldn't be true for a formal decision. A formal decision can be appealed to a district or a Supreme Court, which then puts that on hold. But if it was withdrawn from the court, if they said, okay, I'm not going to go forward, would that not make the formal decision the same? Would we need a rule in that situation? So again, we can't take any action. We don't necessarily have any dialogue on it, but it just came to my mind. I think we've had that situation once or twice where it was appealed to court and then withdrawn. So it's something to think about on that.
We can certainly consider that. I think the difference is that we generally consider an initial decision to be ineffective once an appeal is made. Whereas in the final decision, that's the final decision of the tax commission until it's changed by a court.
Okay.
So if the appeal is withdrawn, then the final decision of the tax commission just remains in effect.
Okay.
So I think that would be the difference in that circumstance.
Great. Let's just make sure that's in the record then.
Thank
you.
I have another question also. Commissioner Pirro, would you confirm the rule number that we amended for the personal property valuation guide so that our record is accurate?
R884-24P-33.
Okay, just want to make sure that
did I not say that?
In the record, I think that that you might have said 39.
Okay.
Now it's all recorded. Everybody's got the right number. We're good to go.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Anything else on administrative rules? Mr. Conover, the Executive Director's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We have just a little bit to report this morning. We had a successful, and in my mind, a very, very, very successful, three varies there, rollout of our motor vehicle vendors project. We began the conversion process at 5:50 p.m. on Friday, and Scott, what date was that? That was the 11th? The 11th. And we started actually 10 minutes early than what we thought we would get to. So every minute counts on a conversion. And by the end of Saturday evening, Sunday morning, we had cut the conversion time down by almost 4.5 hours. And our people were ready to start testing on conversion testing. Sunday morning, I think about 7 o'clock, and we tested all the converted data from our old legacy system into the new Vader's Gentax system all day Sunday and also Monday, and we found some hiccups. We had the developers and the business analysts and the testers. We had approximately 40 people there all weekend long. Many of them were the same people, testing and looking at the transactions, monitoring the transactions going through the system, making sure performance was tuned within the servers. Our networking on Monday, we opened up our interfaces. We had 55 interfaces with local government, law enforcement, private organizations that had to be made, and It was like conducting an orchestra, and I wasn't the conductor, but James Viano and Fast Enterprises with Scott Smith really did a fine job of conducting all the different elements and components of this conversion. This was our last conversion that we'll have in the tax commission in this particular product. and it was one that was scheduled for 15 months. We took all 15 months to get it up and running. On the day of October 15th, we had a couple of phone calls from other states asking, did we roll out? We told them, yes, we did, on time and on budget, and that was good to hear. We had another vendor call and ask us on another issue, and then they, on a sidebar comment, said, did you come up? And we said, yes, we came up on time, on budget. So our success there has been very, very good. We tested 56,000+ scenarios. We had everybody in the agency, the division of DMV and Motor Vehicle Enforcement Division, well-tested, well-trained. Our county people and the interface with the county people has gone rather well. In fact, so well that I haven't had a phone call from a county assessor or treasurer that's doing the work. And neither has Brad, the director of the DMV. We've got their PTIF accounts. The money has been deposited every day. The reports have been reconciled, sent to them. There's a couple little glitches in one of the reports. It's just the money's the same. The money reconciles. Everything's there. So that's all going well. On Monday, we had law enforcement turn on a couple of police departments to test the interface. One was St. George Police. St. George officer called in, said, I've never seen such fast response nor such good information. It's all web-driven. This whole product is web-driven. And so we've had some good things. We had some rough spots as well. Our interfaces with some of our hardware needed to be tweaked and had to be fixed. Our credit card process had a few glitches in it. Most of that had to do with the way security and the imaging on the PCs were handled. Great cooperation out of our partners, Fast Enterprises, DTS, Public Safety, UII, Department of Transportation, are the big ones that we interface, and the counties. And with the counties, we had their private vendors, Singer Company, Tyler, a bunch of the others that were right on the spot. The only problem we really had in the law enforcement side was that we had one of the vendors didn't quite take it as seriously as they should have, and they were sending in multiple transactions through some of their cities. Public Safety stepped in on that and told them if they didn't get it fixed that they would have to go through a different approach through USCGIS. They gave them some time. They were sending notices to this particular vendor every 3 hours, Public Safety was, to get it fixed. I didn't hear any complaints from law enforcement, dealers, a little bit of inventory issues, control issues that we worked out. So the bottom line is that we had a very, very, very successful rollout. Our wait times on Tuesday morning when we turned it on live, some of the offices were at 30 minutes, 40 minutes. A couple of them were at 2 hours. And a lot of that had to do with learning curve. There was some hardware interface connections that needed to be refined. As of yesterday, we were in some of our branch offices like Farmington and St. George, Hurricane, zero wait time. They were in, they were out. Our Salt Lake City office, which is the most complicated office because a lot of the people, the citizens that go into that particular office are non-bankers. So they have to use, they do cash transactions, they can't use the internet, they can't do some of the things that other people can do. We had a 2 hour wait, and then it started in the afternoon on Tuesday, it dropped down to an hour wait, and yesterday it was back up to about an hour in certain portions of the day, particularly when we took lunch break, it got up a little bit. The Motor Vehicle Division has moved resources into that location. All of our desk side support that we send out to all the branches and some of the counties have all been pulled back in. They are not needed anymore out there. That was done on Friday. And we were scheduled, what was it, Scott, 2 weeks? At least 2 weeks, Deside support. And the folks out there picked it up well enough that Deside support was able to come back, reallocate those resources back into the branches as super users. And that's helped these other branches like Salt Lake, South Salt Lake, Provo, Ogden, to become even more efficient because of that, that training. It's been a decade-long initiative that is coming to a close. Mr. Viano, who has been with us from FAST for 8 years, will be reassigned sometime in November to New Mexico. So I'm sorry. Gosh, it reminds me of church. But to see people that you've worked so closely with for so long, under so much stress at times, and know that they have your back. And that includes the DTS people, CIO, public safety. I can't say enough about public safety and their involvement. We have been truly blessed to have the people we've had to bring up all these systems. And the Tax Commission, in just in closing, the Tax Commission automatically is probably in the best shape it has ever been, probably the best shape of any state. When you have 90% of your systems running and operating on a single platform, maximizing resources, development resources, network resources, security resources, we've done some marvelous things here, and the staff of the Tax Commission, I truly can't say enough about the people, our friends, the employees of this agency, and the support that you folks have ongoing given us has been so appreciated. Thank you so much. With that, I can answer any questions. I can't see, but I can answer questions.
Well, let me just before I open it up for questions, let me say I know that Scott Smith, who is with us and who was referred to, took a very active part in heading up this latest initiative. But I also would be remiss not to recognize Barry for his work under Rod Morelli as Rod's deputy, and getting all of the tax systems and the initial gen tax work done for that was an 8-year process, so 8 of the 10 years. and Barry has set the tone for this project, and without gainsaying anything that Barry said about the important contributions of everyone else in the division and our partners, you know, this has kind of been Barry's baby from the very beginning, and he's worked incredibly hard in making it happen. And you know, our sincere appreciation and thanks to you, Barry, for not only the hard work but for setting the tone and bringing the team together to get this done. I really do. When I first got here, we were trying to disentangle ourselves from a less successful effort at a unified tax system, and the legislature and some of the press notwithstanding, I think we handled that disengagement very well. But this has certainly been a much more positive experience, and I think it's a great result, an efficient result for the taxpayers, and it's going to pay dividends long into the future.
Thank you.
Are there any questions for Barry or any comments?
Actually, I do. This is Commissioner Dixon, and I do support the comments of our commission chair. And I recognize, as I did the last meeting we had, it's been 10 years of your life, And that would be an exhaustive 10 years and an emotional 10 years. And so I appreciate the honesty that came out in your voice and your words and what this getting this project through has meant to you and to the Tax Commission. And I appreciate the work that you've done on it. Just a couple of things. On the technology side, you said things rolled out really well. There were some glitches. Are these technology items that we may need to address in a future budget year, as far as we might have to do a few technology upgrades just to make sure we've spent 10 years, we've got a lot of money into this. I as I've said before, technology changes so quickly that it seems like by the time you get to the end of 10 years, you've got to make sure you're meeting those needs. Are there some budgetary things we can expect that we might need to address technology-wise? I'm talking again about the issue with these non-lapsing funds. We've funded this project through non-lapsing funds, which has been, we've been the benefactors of that because of the governor and the legislature. Because we're talking about it like right now, I just don't want to miss the opportunity to understand, may those non-lapsing funds be needed for a future technology upgrades to make sure we're supporting the software program?
Excellent question, Commissioner. On the revenue side, we have a maintenance and support contract of X dollars, and that includes 3 full-time fasties or fast employees here on site. That includes all version upgrades, which we'll be starting version 9 upgrade on the revenue side January 6th, 2014. It will run until August 11th or 14. That will bring the revenue side up to parity with the motor vehicle side, which was developed under version 9. That support and maintenance contract goes on as long as we pay. We get the latest versions. When the versions come up, we get service packs on a monthly basis, which we wrap into a quarterly process to update. So our revenue taxes and our motor vehicle and MVED environments will be state-of-the-art every year under existing budgets. Now, a little caveat to the motor vehicle side. We have a maintenance agreement there as well. It only handles the service packs. So if there's a version 10 that comes up, we would then want to maintain that. We're paying for it on the revenue side because of the support and maintenance contract. On the support and maintenance contract on the motor vehicle side, we didn't buy that product, so there would be an investment of money that would have to be made when we would want to bring the motor vehicle MVD side up. Now, the comments coming from Fast Enterprises is that they are not going to be releasing versions every 18 months like they have been doing over the last number of years. They're going to extend those and put more service packs out, which makes us really happy on the motor vehicle side because we get those under the current maintenance contract. I don't think that the motor vehicle will change a whole lot because of the nature in which it was developed. We were one of the first states. So I think we're sitting in really good shape. But there will be a time when we would need to have several hundred thousand dollars, several hundreds of thousands of dollars, okay, to bring in a new version of DMV.
Okay, and I appreciate it. I was thinking to the hardware side, hardware that can be an expensive part, and part of that hardware can be even scanners. I mean, nowadays we're getting to the point where we've got to scan so much information in, we're trying to save it electronically, and I just want to make sure that we're addressing all the hardware needs and that if there's a need for those non-lapsing funds, we're looking at that so that we don't.
Are.
Okay.
Yeah, we are looking at that.
Okay,
and
perfect.
We also have a replacement schedule for all of our PCs, whether it be audit, laptops, whether it be desktops, at all of our divisions. We have built into our budget ongoing replacement process
right
there. We we'll always have the opportunity to pick up more remittance processors or scanners or something like that, which again would be a good thing to be used with the carry forward.
Okay, great, thank you. I had one other one. Just so that it's really clear, could you just clarify in the record the difference between FAST, Gentax, and Arches? I mean, all these names have been used over the years, just since we're bringing closure to this.
We're being a little confused ourselves because we have an Arches help desk comprised of staff that answers questions from the public. We have a Gentax help desk, which is handled by DTS on the technical
and
side.
And Gentax is the actual software.
The software, yes. Arches was the moniker that we put on as an agency to present to the public while we were developing the revenue side. Vaders is the name we put on, the moniker we put on for the motor vehicle side, but it's all Gentax. It's all Gentax. So what we're looking at is we start to bring these different functions from desk side technical support, from Arches help desk or Vaders help desk, or branch support. As an agency, we're going to be consolidating those into a single nomenclature so that we can understand what we're talking about, what functions are happening there. And so we're going to be eliminating some of these and coming in some comments.
So we can expect those terms to kind of
fade.
Fade
now,
away.
Arches is kind of faded.
Faded away.
Except on the help desk.
Okay.
And see, I can understand a bit of confusion there.
Okay.
But we're going to be meshing them together because really and truly, the motor vehicle MVED is nothing more than another tax. The same subsystems, use the same architecture, used everything the same as we did on the revenue side, and it just becomes another
great
tax.
Thank you. And one last item. You talked about...
Just to close the loop on that, though, and FAST Enterprises is the private contractor that designed the Gentax system.
Yes, FAST Enterprises, exactly. You are absolutely right, Mr. Chairman. Thank you for that. FAST Enterprises are the partners that own Gentax, and that's what they have copyrighted, the Gentax process.
Okay, Gentax, the software system. Yeah. Okay. And one last thing, you said one of the items that worked well, I remember you talking about St. George had no issues. The interfacing of public safety with this motor vehicle system rollout is because they rely on that real-time ability to pull up license plate numbers. Is that the reason that you were bringing up public safety and their interaction with it?
Yes. Actually, the motor vehicle is used a number of different ways in law enforcement. And all the law enforcement community, whether it be sheriff, city police, whatever, FBI, all of that comes in and goes in through public safety. The public safety is the hub for all law enforcement. And so the motor vehicle records are very critical for the safety of the citizens as well as the law enforcement personnel. And so, yes, that's why they have that. We also send our data to Navitas, which is a AAMVA national database for title and registration, where they do national lookups on stolens and things like that, where all states contribute to that. And so the law enforcement interface through public safety was very, very critical. And they went to a web portal as well during the same time. And so we worked together getting both web portals to interface, and that's what makes the data go through quickly. USEGIS, of course, is the interface with local law enforcement and inlets and other types of federal databases, FBI databases that go nationally on stolen and criminal and so forth.
Great, thank you. I don't think most people think that tax is involved with public safety, and so I wanted to make sure that was clear why. I appreciate the really detailed information and update and closure on this. And if you could, I'm sure that wasn't easy for our front counter folks at the DMV offices to take the brunt of anyone's frustration for an hour wait or a 2 hour wait. So if you could just pass on our thank you to them, to everybody who worked on it on behalf of the commission, and particularly those front folks, people, I don't think they get thanked enough.
We definitely will do that.
Thank you.
It was kind of nice. We had monitors. We could see the crowds in our state offices because of the technology that we have. We could see the workloads and who was being assigned what. And it was interesting. The citizens of the state during this period of time have been very, very accommodating. There was a couple of folks that got upset at one of the at Salt Lake office, but they were not out of control.
Just frustrated.
Yeah, and once they got in a line to go through the drive-up window, they couldn't get out of it. And so they was, you know, they had to spend their time in there, and under the new Salt Lake City environment issue, they had to turn the car off and on, off and on, off and on to keep that. And there was really no complaints. We had a situation, I think our PIO handled it very well. We had a call, went into KSL, and through the discussion with Charlie and Scott and Brad Simpson, that became a non-story, you know, and it just hasn't hit the press.
Right.
So, and a lot of it had to do with those front CSR counter people. Phenomenal job.
Thank you. Congratulations again.
Any other questions for Mr. Conover? I have one last question. My son needs to sign up for health insurance.
Oh.
Can he do this on this program? Because he's not having any luck on that.
I'm sorry that we can assist him on voter registration through the driver's license, but we can't do the Affordable Care Act.
No surge.
No.
From the tax commission. All right. Do any of the commissioners have anything to report? Seeing none, I'd entertain a final motion. But I do want to just reemphasize, Mr. Smith is here, but we don't have anybody from the motor vehicle here, and do express our great gratitude to them, because I know this has been a tremendous, tremendous effort, and I want to thank them. In favor, say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much, everyone.
Hey.